This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Is it strange I call you? How do you think that I might forget all my love? It's radiating further away.
You're with the priest, the poem, and the poof on the Spirit Lounge, the show that explores sexuality and spirituality for our community.
And it's good evening and welcome to the Spirit Lounge. You're with Andrew, Joy and Bertie.
Fondly known as the Priest, the Pom and the Poof.
Exactly. And we have another fun-packed, information-packed, exciting
we do
program.
And we would like to say a happy July 4th to all our American listeners. I suppose if they're actually in America, they'll be asleep, won't they?
Yeah.
They might be snoozing, I think.
They might be. But so all our American friends down under and listening in other parts of the world, happy Independence Day. Hope you're celebrating appropriately.
Yes, and I was going to sing God Bless America, but they won't let me. So there we are. You're all very lucky, I'll tell you.
Disaster averted.
Oh, you're so rude. Quite true, though. Okay, what are we talking about, guys?
We are going to look at the Baha'i faith today and what is that all about. So if any of our listeners are of the Baha'i faith, we'd love to hear from you. You can SMS us on 0427 569 949. We'd love to hear from you and you never know, we might even phone you.
Or you could email us on air@joy.org.au.
Fantastic. And we're looking at the 4th of July, what it really means in terms of the declaration, them signing the Declaration of Independence 235 years ago, to be precise.
Goodness me.
That's a long time.
And I remember it. No, I don't.
You learned that on Google, didn't you?
I know, I've been geeky Googling again. And Priesty, you've got an Artist of the Month, have you not?
Of course I have.
Mm-hmm. One of your favourites.
Gorgeous, stunning, beautiful. One for the girls. And no, it's not Katie Lang.
It's not. In fact, I think we might even get through the whole show without Katie Lang today.
Well, she's already been mentioned. And
yeah, exactly.
We've only been on air for 4 minutes. But it's clearly a criteria that the artist has to be drop-dead gorgeous, is this it?
Yes. Just the girls.
Next month, Joy's promised me she's going to select a rather cute boy. So we'll see.
Well, yeah.
Now, the other very important thing to do before we get going is we have got a book to give away.
We have.
In the next hour. And the book is called Love Upside Down, Life, Love and the Subversive Jesus by Stephen Ogden. This is a radical application of the theme of love to complex ethical issues. Written in a lively prose style with humour and substance, the book explores what it means to take love seriously in relation to the issues of violence against women, the abuse of the ecology and the oppression of gay and lesbian people in the church. That's one very long sentence. So, Love Upside Down by Stephen Ogden, free book to give away. The first person to SMS in to quote their membership number will be the lucky winner. So SMS now, 0427 569 949.
And we will need your name and suburb and membership number.
Yep.
And you need not to have won a prize in the last 2 weeks.
That's right.
Otherwise you'll have to give it back to us.
Those are the only rules.
Yes. Well, we're going to start with our artist, our inspirational artist for July. Our artist, Liz Wright, is said to deliver a sultry R&B performance that's divinely layered in gospel and jazz. She was born in Georgia in the early 1980s, not 18. I had her in 1908 and now she's 18. And her musical taste blossomed encouraged by her father, who served as a pianist and musical director at the local church.
By high school, Liz, with two Z's, was earning awards in countless choir competitions. Following studying voice at Georgia State in Atlanta, she joined the vocal quartet In the Spirit. The group was quickly hailed as the best jazz group in the city. 2 years later, Liz signed a deal with Verve and recorded her debut album, Salt. She has since released three albums, Dreaming Wide Awake, The Orchard, and her latest album, Fellowship.
And the first track we're going to hear tonight comes from Fellowship, and it's called I Remember, I Believe.
I don't know how my mother walked her trouble down. I don't know how my father stood his ground. I don't know how.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the priest, the Pom, and the Poof.
Good evening and welcome.
We're talking tonight, our first subject is called healthy skepticism. Do you know about healthy skepticism?
Can it be healthy?
Well, that's what we could discuss, isn't it? Is skepticism healthy? I think it is.
Yeah, I'm going to put my hand up for saying, yeah.
We're on radio, darling. Please don't put your hand up. You need to speak. No one can see you.
I'm very skeptical of a lot of things.
Is that because you don't understand them or you don't like what they stand for?
I don't know. I think it's like, you know, when you proceed with caution. I think it's a normal thing to do.
I think so. And I think, you know, I've been thinking about this the last few days, and we talk to a lot of people here on this program. We talk about a lot of different faiths. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we condone everything they stand for, that we support them, that we suggest that people, you know, jump in boots and all to whatever they suggest. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to offer is people a way of connecting with their spirituality. But I think that should come with some scepticism, and not in a negative term. I think scepticism has always been a negative term. I think it is actually a positive thing, is that you go along and you think about, what is it I want to get out of this? Mm-hmm. You know, so what do I want to know?
I think what's been interesting for me, I mean, we're into our seventh month now, aren't we?
Oh, we've got long service leave.
We have. But so I think what I found really interesting, being the agnostic amongst you all, God knows how I even got on this program, but anyway.
you mentioned God, though. Being an agnostic, she mentions God, yeah.
just because we like your accent, really. That's, you know.
Thank you, darling. I'll talk like...
We were desperate.
I'll talk like the Queen, then. No, I think what I've learned over the last 6 months is how the different religions embrace spirituality, what it means to them. And I think also the other nice thing is it's been a real education because, you know, we want people to come on the program and talk about their faith, hopefully in a sort of impartial and neutral way. It doesn't have to be, nothing has to be controversial. And, you know, it's certainly opened my mind a lot. And I, you know, I can be quite skeptical about religion because, you know, if you want to take it in a very simple form for a minute, one can't help noticing around the world that the origin of most aggression, violence and war, of course, is differences in religion or religious opinion.
I think that's always been the case, though.
I think it has, probably since the year dot. And of course, that does one make one skeptical. But yeah, no, it's been I've certainly had my mind opened.
I think if people go to, like tonight we're talking about Baha'i, if someone decided, okay, I want to experience what the Baha'i faith is about, to go along and be sceptical about it and ask questions, oh, it's great.
What kinds of questions would you ask if you were faith shopping, for want of a better term?
Well, I guess my first question would be, how do they view homosexuality? It'd have to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I would ask, I would want to know about their theology. Is it fundamentalist? Because I'm quite liberal. You know, their leaders, where do they come from? Mm-hmm. Do they just get appointed, or are they actually people who have been trained up into their roles?
And actually Baha'i is quite one of the lesser known faiths, isn't it? I mean, I only had heard about it because one of my dearest cousins back home, his first wife was Baha'i, so the ceremony was Baha'i, which took place in, this was in Scotland, took place in the hotel. So it was licensed for this sort of service. And I sort of, when my brother got married, they had a humanist service. And when I compare those two services, actually they were quite similar.
Okay.
Because they were completely structured in the way they wanted, and everything was written and spoken by them. But there was a person of the cloth, I suppose, if that's what you call them, sort of, you know, conducting the ceremonies. But that was it. Otherwise, it was quite informal.
Yeah, I think there's lots of religions out there, and I do think it's good to explore other religions, but also to ask these questions.
Well, we'll be asking a few questions of the Baha'i religion.
We will.
Over the next 40 minutes.
Melbourne's biggest gay voice has a fresh new sound.
Fresh new sound.
Joy 94.9.
And you are with the Priest, the Pom and the Poof in the Spirit Lounge every Monday night from 9 till 10. And we have a little spy in the studio tonight by the name of Zach. Welcome, Zach.
He's very quiet. Quiet as a mouse.
We don't know who he's spying for. So.
and we haven't given him a microphone, so he's just sitting there with
we'll torture him later and find out.
He's sitting there with a cheesy grin on his face, but allegedly he's here to watch, listen and learn.
Oh, and what's he doing with us?
haven't got a clue.
Exactly. Now, we're going to talk about Baha'i, which originated in 1844 when a Sufi Muslim called Mirza Ali Muhammad revealed himself to be the Bab, which means gate of God, and announced that a new prophet was coming.
And this was in Iran.
Yeah, and this went against what the Muslim faith believed, because they believed that Prophet Muhammad was the final prophet of God. And so he was persecuted and eventually executed for an alleged assassination attempt on the Shah of Iran. Mm. And July the 9th is the religious festival, which commemorates the martyrdom of Bab.
Mm.
Anyway, in 1863, one of Bab's followers, Mirza Hussein Ali, I said that so well, didn't I?
You did.
Revealed that he was a prophet proclaimed by the Bab, and he called himself Baha'u'llah, glory of God, and said that he was a manifestation of God promised by all religions and sent to redeem the world and to interpret God's will for a new era. There you go.
Hallelujah.
So he decided he was it.
He did. And then the Baha'i faith was introduced into Australia by English-Irish immigrants, Clara and Hyde Dunn. There you go, in 1920. Now, how long? That's quite a long
time. It hasn't been around a long time.
That's quite a long time after Mirza Hussein Ali, though, isn't it? Hyde was a salesman. Used to obviously toodle around and give talks about Baha'i as he travelled around the continent. In 1924, the first local spiritual assembly was formed in Sydney. In 1934, a national spiritual assembly was grouped in Australia and New Zealand and was convened until 1957, and then New Zealand formed its own national body. So there are about 9,000 Australians identify as Baha'i.
But that was about 1996 census.
The only census we could find was 1996. There's probably a few more since then.
But they reckon there's over 70,000 centres worldwide. Largest in India, Africa and South America.
And there's me saying it's a lesser known religion, but perhaps just to the likes of us and where we live.
Some of their key beliefs is that there is one God, but religious truth is not absolute because God in his essence is unknowable. So they have a male God as well.
Mm.
And divine revelation is continuous and progressive. So while there have been many messengers from God in the past, so too will more appear in the future. There you go. And all religions are basically divine and their basic principles are in harmony.
Mm-hmm. But I think where it starts to become a bit of a muddle is homosexuality and how the Baha'i faith see that. Because it's not very encouraging, really, is it?
No, they'd go down the same line that the only acceptable form of sexual expression is within marriage, and marriage is between one man and one woman. And they stress the importance of absolute chastity for any unmarried person.
Says homosexuality is described as a condition that an individual should control and overcome. Please. Baha'is are left to apply the teachings at their own discretion and are discouraged from singling out. I thought they were going to sing about homosexuality. Well, they probably should. And are discouraged from singling out homosexuality over other transgressions, such as the consumption of alcohol or heterosexual promiscuity. So, okay, so there's quite a lot of no-nos going on here, aren't there, really?
So we're down on two levels already. Yes, we haven't got very far into it, and we're off the list.
We're bottom of the barrel. Membership in the Baha'i community is therefore open to lesbian and gay adherents who are to be advised and sympathised with.
Oh, sympathised is such a difficult word. Sympathised. I don't know whether I'd want to be sympathised with or...
I mean, they accept homosexuals and you can join in their community life, but of course you can't have sex. Yeah. You can't be a practicing homosexual.
You have to be a non-practicing homosexual.
Exactly. And you might have sanctions against you if your behaviour is found to be discrediting the Baha'i faith.
And then it said, they try to redeem themselves in some of these scriptures, because then it says the teaching state that Baha'i should not treat homosexual people as condemned outcasts, nor expect people who are not Baha'i to follow Baha'i laws. Well, fair enough. Second thing's okay. The Baha'i's writings teach it to treat everyone with respect and dignity, and an attitude of discrimination and social intolerance towards homosexuals is not supported by the Baha'i's teachings. Actually, this is just contradictions on every page I turn to.
Yeah, I want to read a statement that they make about homosexuality. Is one of many problems, both physical and psychological. Some are the result of the individual's own behaviour, some are caused by the circumstances in which he grew up.
That's not us then.
No, some are congenital. Oh, that sounds a bit awful, doesn't it? Homosexuality's abnormality, oh heaven help us, is a great problem for the individual so afflicted. And he or she, we're added in here, should strive to overcome it. Oh, dear.
We would like to invite anyone of the Baha'i faith who understands this a bit more than we do to contact us, because what we're reading right now is actually incredibly disturbing and completely out of date.
Yes, it certainly wouldn't encourage me to go along and explore the Baha'i faith.
No.
That was one of your number one questions is, what are, like, if you're faith shopping, what's their stance on homosexuality?
Yeah, because why would you want to go somewhere if they're going to condemn you to a life of celibacy?
Doesn't work for me.
Does it work for you?
I don't imagine that it would be that great for me.
let's play a tune so we can all sing cheer ourselves up.
Yes, let's just have that gorgeous Liz Wright again, and she's going to sing a beautiful song, Amazing Grace. And That was the gorgeous voice of the gorgeous Liz Wright with Oh Yeah. And before that we had Amazing Grace. And we've got all American artists tonight in honour of the 4th of July.
Yep.
But it was also Canadian Day, Canada Day.
Oh, hello to everyone in Canada.
Especially Katie Lang.
I should be keeping track of the number of Katie Lang references you get in.
There's no point in giving her a challenge saying for one whole hour when we're live on air, you are not allowed to mention the Katie Lang word.
Because exactly.
You just have again.
I know.
Anyway, it is the 4th of July. It is Independence Day. And as the Americans wake up at some point, they will all be having the day off and getting ready to wear red, white and blue and march up and down in their parades and have fireworks and sing songs like God Bless America.
And what do they eat?
They normally have barbecues and, you know, bangers and so burgers.
Buffalo wings.
Bangers, burgers, buffalo wings and beer.
My mum's from America. She was so excited about the 4th of July.
Mm. And what did she do?
Well, she's cooking up a feast at home and I'm sitting in a radio station. She wasn't really that happy about that. Mm. So, sorry, Mum. Hi.
Is she saving some for when you get home?
I think so, yeah.
But we had a look at what Independence Day really means, because it doesn't just mean a day off and lots of partying and fireworks. But to the founders of America, it meant far more. Many of the founding fathers were actually men of the cloth, who held deep religious convictions based on the Bible and their Christian faith. And the founding fathers held strong moral and spiritual convictions which helped form the foundations of America. And the general principles on which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. Now, one of the key figures who unified the colonists preceding the revolution was Samuel Adams, also known as the father of the American Revolution. And it was Adams' view that in declaring their independence from Great Britain, the colonists were placing themselves under the only true sovereign, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Adams believed that as God reigns in heaven, it was his desire to further his kingdom in the New World. So it was all very kind of biblically driven, I think, 235 years ago. So it was the 3rd of July, 1776, the day following Congress's approval of the Declaration of Independence. John Adams' brother, Samuel's brother, John Adams, who later became America's second president, because of course George Washington was the first president, predicted that this most memorable epoch in the history of America would be a very celebrated date for generations to come. He was quite a visionary, wasn't he? I think he realised it was so significant that it would become a marked day in the diary forevermore.
So why did they celebrate the 4th of July and not the 3rd?
I think it was the Congress approved the Declaration of Independence on the 3rd, and obviously in those days, by the time the news got out, it was the 4th of July, I would imagine. Because they, you know, smoke
TV
signals,
sets didn't
pigeons.
Really work in 1776.
No, I think it was runners and men on horseback.
What about pigeons?
Pigeons and smoke signals.
That was a barbecue, dear.
Yeah, that's
it's a barbecue fired up across the country. Smoke signals.
That was the early 18th century barbecue. But to John Adams, it was to be remembered as a day of deliverance from the control and oppression of the tyrants. That was
those
bloody pomps. And it should be marked by acts of devotion to the God, the author of liberty. And the colonists were declaring themselves free to serve the King of Kings and not an earthly tyrant like the Brits.
I don't think he would be very happy about the way they celebrate it nowadays, would he?
Well, no, not really. Not really. But it was also proclaimed, suppose a nation in some distant region should take the Bible for their only law book and every member should regulate his conduct by the precepts, they're exhibited. Every member would be obliged in conscience to temperance, frugality and industry, to justice, kindness and charity towards his fellow men, and to piety, love and reverence toward Almighty God. What a utopia, what a paradise would this region be? That was one of his little speeches. Oh,
didn't quite work out, did it?
But the declaration was actually drafted by Thomas Jefferson, who of course became the third president of the US, and it was also signed by Benjamin Franklin. So lots of really famous names there. And I think there were about 10 or 12 really key founders of at that period in America. And that was it. They wanted to serve God. But what I didn't realize was how religiously it was driven, actually. That was their influence.
Americans are very religious, though, in some regard.
Well, they still are, yes.
I mean, they sort of go to church and then turn around and shoot you on the way out, yeah. But they go to church at least and say, excuse me, ma'am, as they do it. But, yeah, they...
Well, one of the things that they really pride themselves on is that there is that freedom to express your religious beliefs.
No matter how wacky it is.
Well, maybe. Yes. Yeah, I mean, some of the real wacky, weirdo, extreme stuff goes on there, doesn't it?
Well, the one with the guy who's going to burn the Quran. You know, well, he did, didn't he? Cause all that problem. So, I mean, that's pretty wacky.
Yeah, it is. And it's meant to be a country of freedom of speech and all that. But
Can you imagine the uproar if they said they're going to burn the Bible?
Well, some of the extreme Muslims have said that before, haven't they?
Yeah.
And, you know, actually pretended to do it in front of cameras and stuff like that.
Well, lots of people burn the flag of the American.
Well, they do. It seems to be quite symbolic. But when we come back later after a few more songs and chitter-chatter, we're going to look at the significance of the American flag and its colours and its design.
Oh, that sounds fabulous.
But anyway, we're going to have another song now, and enough of priest's choice. It's my choice now.
We're moving along.
No, I have to say,
Liz Wright.
I love Liz Wright, and thank you for introducing her to us. One of my favourites, another fantastic American songstress, and of course, infamous lesbian, Madame Melissa Etheridge, and this is called "Dance Without Sleeping." And you are on the Spirit Lounge with the Priest, the Pom, and the Puff. And we're here every Monday night between 9 and 10. And we've been celebrating the 4th of July and have a great day, all our American friends. And we've been looking at what really happened 235 years ago and the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And the Americans finally got away from the Brits.
They escaped.
They escaped. And as I was doing my research, I stumbled across the meaning, old and new, and the evolution of the American flag. And we were talking about the forefathers and all the people who put the Declaration together and founded America as we know it. And it's reasonable to assume that the forefathers were also in tune with colour meanings, judging by the symbolic richness of the United States flag. And Congress passed the resolution to make the American flag just a year after independence in 1777. But the original flag, not many people know this, but the original flag had 13 stars, and the white stars on the blue background stood for a new constellation, and the stars united with 13 horizontal stripes of alternating 7 red and 6 white, representing the 13 colonies. But of course the colonies then became states, and so eventually today there are 50 stars representing the 50 states of the Union of the United States of America. And Priestie on my left here has been counting them on the website because she didn't believe me.
No, I thought there was 52. But when I was Googling, there seemed to be some discussion about how many there are. So, goodness sake, could someone who's got an American friend, quickly, Derek, if you're listening, run around and count them for us, darling, and let us know.
So the red, white and blue do hold significant colours. White is the light from the Creator and is symbolic of purity, truth, innocence and sincerity. So that's how the white came to be on the flag. The red in the 18th century symbolised blood of patriotic heroes. But today it's referred to as fire. That's why they have fireworks on the 4th of July. But red is also the colour of earth and today symbolises hardiness and valour. Mm. But Priestie, you were noticing something about the Senate here.
Yeah, we were noticing in the Senate that all the furnishings and everything is red. Mm. And to me, red's a colour of danger or, you know, stop.
Yes, if you're in a car, yeah.
That might be a good thing for politicians.
That'd be quite dangerous if you don't stop, really.
And I just wondered if that was very conducive to good, wholesome debate.
But
I feel not.
Red's also a colour indicating power. So you may
seat of power.
Well, you'll notice that quite often if there's a leader who's trying to get their point across or trying to present themselves as being authoritarian, they might wear like a red tie to kind of help suggest that.
Do they?
Well, there you go.
There you go. Well, I've never worn a tie. I suppose
very,
that'll be
very attuned to colours. Very attuned.
But red also, in Australia, red is a very strong sort of earthy colour, isn't it? I mean, there's so much red soil in Australia.
Yeah,
so
the red centre we talk about.
Exactly, I know. I've been there. And finally, the blue symbolises, in the old days, it symbolised sky and ocean. It was the ideal of unity and harmony. And today it represents vigilance, perseverance and justice. So putting the colours in perspective, we can see Earth connect with sky and sky with Creator in unity and harmony. And that's how the United States flag came to be.
But the Union Jack is also red, white and blue too.
It is. And if you
our flag's red, white and blue.
But the red, white and blue, I need to look into it. But of course it's the St Andrew's Cross from Scotland. It's the St George's Cross from England.
Yes.
It's the... What is it from Wales? It's not the dragon on it, though, is it? It's the...
No.
It's so, I mean, there must be... We can look up the history. We can have a week of emblems.
We'll have to compare notes. See if all the colours actually agree with each other.
If they had the same meaning all those years ago. But anyway, there we are. And we've got another song now, continuing our American artist to celebrate Independence Day. And this is a lesser-known song by the delightful Shania Twain called Juanita.
And you're on Spirit Lounge with the priest, the Pom and the Poof, and Philip from Ivanhoe. Congratulations. You have won the book.
Happy reading.
Exactly. So we've talked about Baha'i. And if anyone out there is of the Baha'i faith, we'd love to talk to you on here. So you could contact us via...
You can contact us via Facebook is probably the easiest way. Just punch in Spirit Lounge 949 and we should come up. And, of course, we do have our website as well. It's spiritlounge949.weebly.com. So Weebly's Weebly.com.
Weebly. And I love that word.
Or you can just follow
the... silly word. A Weebly.
Well, we are a little bit silly, aren't we? A little bit silly.
Speak for yourself.
You can also just follow the links through from the Joy website, joy.org.au. Click onto Spirit Lounge and you'll be able to reach our website and drop us a line. So we'd love to talk to you.
We're very keen to hear from anyone who follows the Baha'i religion because we're a bit disturbed by what we've read tonight.
Yes, but as I said, they're probably no worse than a lot of other religions that we...
That's very
including
true.
A lot of Christian...
That's very, very true indeed.
...faiths that believe the same thing, don't they?
No, they do. They do. So that would be cool. And we've been celebrating the 4th of July tonight and Independence Day for all our American friends. And to celebrate that, we've only played American artists tonight. Artist of the Month, Liz Wright.
And we're about to let off fireworks.
Yeah. Just popping up to the studio. Rooftop at Joy and...
Open the window, Andrew.
I'm not sure that that's covered by OHS.
Just joking, powers to be. Don't ring up.
Well, we'll see. That's pretty much all we've got time for this week.
Oh, we're going to play out with Anastasia in a minute and her track called Black Roses, but we'd like to say welcome to the Cubby House, which is the next show to come on and their new slot at 10 o'clock on a Monday night. So welcome to Kevin and Jack and Cookie, fondly known as the Cubs from the Bear Society, the Bear Community. So the Cubby House follows on. Thanks for joining us and same time, same place next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.